Welcome back to The Download here on WGN Radio. I'm Justin Kaufman. Well, you know, there are a few comedians that are able to play Madison Square Garden. I mean, it's almost unheard of. Unless, of course, you're Andrew Dice Clay. Yeah. The iconic comedian and now actor is having a bit of a resurgence thanks to his unbelievable performance on the Showtime show Dice. Dice plays Dice, trying to get back on top in Las Vegas. He also has shown his acting chops in Woody Allen's Blue Jasmine and on HBO shows Entourage and Vinyl. And this summer, he's touring the country doing stand-up shows. Andrew Dice Clay is coming to the Copernicus Center in Jefferson Park on the 18th of June. And he is my guest tonight on The Download. Dice, thanks for being here.
Hey, what a great intro. Amazing. How you doing?
Good. You know, I think we should start right at the top. Why is Ford Fairlane so underappreciated? It's one of our favorite movies here on The Download.
That was all during the controversy of Dice and the media coming after Dice. The movie itself was a good movie.
It was a great
movie. People loved it. But the studio at the time was afraid because of all these threats to the studio, and they just pulled it. So it was a chance for all the critics around the country. At that time, all the critics were, you know, I was selling 20,000 seats a night, places like even Chicago, the Rosemont Arena, you know, which I did 5 times. You know, the media didn't know what to make out of me because no comic in history ever did those many arena shows. It was scary to them. And I've always compared it almost to the beginning of Elvis Presley's career, where people were like afraid. They never saw anybody like him before. And in the world of stand-up, somebody like Dice never happened before that would fill these gigantic places and audiences would be screaming for more than a rock band.
Yeah.
So it was the Ford Fairlane thing was right in the middle of all that. So they pulled the movie after like a week.
No.
Not because it wasn't earning, you know. My manager at the time ran to Europe when it opened. You know, when that movie came out on video, you know, which we don't have today. When it came out on video, you know, they used to say, you know, rent videos for $2. Mm-hmm. But if you kept the video, they charge you $100.
Right.
You know, the first month Ford Fairlane came out on video, they sold close to 500,000 at $100 a pop. So the studio, plus they played the movie all over the world. It's got this built-in audience that still wants to see a sequel to it.
Right.
You know, but even, you know, the first weekend made close to $14 million, which people listening today would go, that's no big deal. The movies come out, they make $50 million. But you're talking about, you know, 30 years ago.
I can't believe it's that long
ago. Movie prices were like $7.
Yeah, if that, right.
You know, now you got to put a down payment on a ticket to walk into a movie.
Well, let's talk about your career. Obviously, I'm interested in the character Dice. I mean, I was looking, researching a little bit, talking about how it got started. But you really made a concerted effort in your career to say, this is the character I'm going to double down on, because you were doing other stand-up acts and not just the character Dice. What drew you to make that your life's work?
You know what? It was just an evolution of how I was doing stand-up. You know, but I was doing stand-up to work on my acting chops. You know, instead of going to acting school once a week, I would get on a stage every night. But also after I did, you know, Don Kirshner's rock concert and I was doing impressions, and it was like I need to be more of just the Brooklyn guy I am when I go on stage. So movie producers could find me to play that kind of thing.
Right.
But as I was working on it, I just really got good at the stand-up.
Yes.
You know, because I'm in comedy clubs. And it just evolved into absolute mania by 1988.
Was there ever a time before that mania, I mean, when you saw the mania coming, that you feared for a typecast kind of situation where, you know?
No, not at all, because, you know, I just love always performing. And, you know, I grew up more listening to rock and roll, and I was a drummer. And, you know, I could sing and dance and all that stuff. So, you know, when I started seeing other comedians, like at the Comedy Store in L.A., the one thing I noticed is a lot of them don't have performing chops. they might have good material, but they didn't really know how to work a stage properly, you know, to really excite an audience. And that's what I was good at.
Yeah.
You know, and I remember talking to my own mother when I would visit back in Brooklyn going, you know what? I'm just going to create the Elvis of comedy, not rock and roll, because it was already done in rock and roll. It was done in film with everybody from James Dean all the way to Travolta in movies like Fever and Grease. You know, it was done on TV by Henry Winkler playing the Fonz. I go, but there was never that, like, hero comic, you know. And so I used all my influences, you know, as far as the way I would dress on stage with the high collars and the rhinestones. That was stuff I would get, like, from watching Elvis with his jumpsuit. You know, so I wanted to create a leather jacket that looked like a jumpsuit. And I loved it, but it was a mistake because I would do a concert, and some of those jackets weigh like 30 pounds.
Sweating out of it.
You know? Yeah, it was. But people loved it. And, you know, that was more important to me than wearing, you know, a shirt with rolled up cuffs under a sweater. I really love to excite my audiences that they walk out and they're going, I never saw anything like that.
The one thing, I mean, obviously the audiences grew and grew and grew, and past you just being a good stand-up comedian and having such a loyal following, when you look back on that time, I mean, you were more than just a stand-up. You became a trend. You became almost like an American icon, as I mentioned at the top. Talk about that, being in the middle of that with everything from the censorship to being, you know, referenced by leaders. I mean, it just felt like Andrew Dice Clay was much more than just a stand-up comedian.
The media is what turned it into that. But for me, it was just about being in front of these audiences. The dream had come true, because once I really decided to go for it, even in the world of stand-up, you know, even comics back then, you know, that I started with, when they would ask me, like, where do you see yourself going with this? Mm-hmm. I said, I'm going to be the biggest stand-up in the world. I'm doing something nobody's ever done. And it's either going to go nowhere or I'll be the biggest in the world, because it's never happened. And it wound up the biggest in the world. And to this day, you know, I take a lot of pride, you know, when I hear certain comics, certain friends of mine, like Louis C.K., who came out and did the L.A. Forum, you know, which is an 18,000-seater. Yeah. And, you know, Kevin Hart's done some arenas. And there's been a few guys to sell some arenas, but I did over 300 of those sold out in a day and age where there was no Facebook, no Twitter, no followers. It was just word of mouth. And I'm glad I'm the original. It's a great thing to know when I look back, yeah, especially now that the career is completely gone through the roof again.
I'm intrigued by that, because, you know, here you come, you've had such a great run here with Dice, your own show on Showtime, and then also, you know, you were in Blue Jasmine, Woody Allen's Blue Jasmine, which Scott Armstrong, who was on this show, said he saw you in, and that's when he really he gravitated towards you. Talk about getting back on top.
I got to say about Scott that, you know, he's the one guy that I've run into that completely got the concept of what I wanted to do in a TV series. And he's the one that keeps me leveled out as to all the different sides of my personality. I mean, he's an amazing, number one, he's just a great guy. Mm-hmm. I love the guy. He's great at directing me. He's great at writing for me. And, you know, the public has already voted as far as what they think of the show. And we're waiting to see if we get the pickup. And I don't sweat those things because, you know, I would love to do it for a bunch of seasons. But, you know, you never know what goes on with a network. I mean,
yeah.
When Louis C.K. first had his show on HBO, they canceled him after a few episodes.
Yeah.
That's how me and Louis became friends, because I met him in the parking lot of the Comedy Store, and we became friends. And, you know, he just couldn't get past the cancellation. And I said, Louis, sometimes they just got to cancel stuff. It's the pecking order. And look at him now. The show got picked up by FX. It's a giant hit. I'm not looking to go anywhere else with the show. I mean, Showtime's been great to me for years now. They gave me a special a few years ago. I've had on other specials for them. I did the Blue Comedy special. I did Indestructible. And they gave me an incredible shot, and people love it. But till they make that call, you don't know what it's up in the air.
What are the challenge of playing yourself?
There isn't one, because I'm very open to showing. That's the only frustrating part. When you're on a comedy stage, when I'm doing a concert, it's that side of me. It's the stand-up side. But to put me in a series and show his home life and his friends and his family, and when my girlfriend gets to yell at me on film and I'm looking at the floor, that every guy could go, okay, I get it now. He's on stage kicking ass, taking names, but he's just like us. When the chick is angry, he's looking at the floor going, all right, how do I figure this out so I get laid again tonight? That's it. I go through the same class everybody goes through.
So for you as a stand-up comedian, and you're going back, this summer you're playing the big gigs again. Are you the kind of stand-up comedian, you mentioned the Comedy Store and being in L.A., are you the kind of stand-up that likes to go back to the dingy small room and work out your material, or is it big room or bust for Dice?
No. I love clubs, but I never, ever go and work on material, ever. I will sit in my backyard, I'll smoke a little weed, I'll let my mind go, and I'll come up with a new 10 minutes. And the rehearsal for that 10 minutes is in concert. That's it. My opening act, Eleanor Kerrigan, to me, she's the best female stand-up in the country. She's not the most famous yet. She needs her own special. But this girl's from South Philly. She does 3 and 4 of those shows a night when she's in L.A., like the little comedy rooms. And then she'll call me up, and I'll do 10 minutes of material. And she'll go, where did you work that out? And I go, in the backyard. And she goes, and you're going to go on stage with that. I'm doing 4 shows a night. You're going to go on stage and just slaughter, untried, unproven. When I recently did The Tonight Show with Jimmy Fallon, he really wanted a stand-up set. And, instead of sitting on the panel, and breaking up stand-up and panel, I told their producer, Michael Cox, I said, if I don't want to do the panel, how much time will you give me?
Right.
And he said, well, the longest anybody's ever done is 5 minutes. You can't go longer than 5 minutes. Well, the bottom line, people could look it up on the internet. My set on the Fallon Show is the longest stand-up set in the history of late-night TV. From Johnny Carson, Jay Leno, to Jimmy Fallon, 6 minutes and I think 28 seconds or 23 seconds, and that was without Jimmy Fallon's intro. And from that one shot, we're now booking amphitheaters. Where am I playing again, by the way?
You're playing at the Copernicus Center in Jefferson Park.
Well, I better see every seat sold out because I won't come back there again. Because I'm selling out all over the country, and Chicago means a lot to me personally. My son's band, Still Rebel, they're opening Ozzfest this year.
Okay.
They're calling in I didn't even know she had a number on me, but I got a text from Sharon Osbourne about 3 weeks ago, and this is the last Ozfest. And she said, your boys have to open it. The point I'm bringing out is that their mother, I met her in Chicago
many years ago
when I was doing a Michael Mann show. Michael Mann, who produced, Miami Vice.
Yeah, of course.
We were shooting a show in Chicago called Crime Story.
Right, of course.
Which starred Dennis Farina. I'm really saying this for the younger people out there that are not as old as me, but it was Dennis Farina and Michael Madsen and Tony Dennison and Kevin Spacey and David Caruso, all these great actors that came out of crime story. And while I was doing it, I met their mom there. So Chicago was like always in my heart. And when I started doing concerts, you know, I made sure to come to Chicago a lot. So I better see every seat full there or I ain't coming back. You know, like my agents go, you know, you're going to push the gig. I go, push the gig. It should already be sold out. Chicago.
It's home away from home. That's right.
I used to go to the Circle. What do we call the Circle again there in the city?
The Loop downtown or the UIC campus?
Loop.
Yeah, the Loop.
The greatest restaurants. You know, I just have so many great memories of Chicago through all the years. And I haven't been there in a few years because I had to rebuild. I had to, you know, bring my sons up after I went through a divorce with their mom and get them started, you know, doing what they wanted to do. And, you know, who cares about a career if you bring up two dummies? You know, if you have kids, you got to bring them up. You got to teach them. When I see all these people cross the street, adult people, and they don't look both ways, I'm going, I don't blame them. I blame the parents. You know, so I did that, and now I'm back out there.
Well, we're looking forward to it. Chicago's excited to have Andrew Dice Clay back at the Copernicus Center in Jefferson Park. You're excited. All right. We're excited.
Yeah.
On the 18th
excited.
Of June, Andrew Dice Clay, amazing to talk to you. Thanks for being my guest tonight. I appreciate it.
Thank you very much, and I'll see you then, buddy.